Oral questions by members.
Leader of the Official Opposition.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, the mayor of Penticton feels that his community is being bullied by this government. Here's what he had to say, and I quote, "My community went berserk. The Attorney General instigating people to break the law, that's not right. That's unethical. We are losing trust in our ministers. I'd like to beg the Premier to please talk to the minister and cool him down," end quote. And that's not all. And now it's the Pathways Addictions Resource Center that is being defunded by this government. Here's what Don Swanson had to say, and I quote, "Pathways has kept my body and my soul together for many years. I thought I would lose my daughter, and I didn't know how to cope, and I lost my son this July in Calgary to fentanyl. My husband, my daughter, myself, they have kept us together, and I just can't have them go away," end quote. The minister refuses to take responsibility, so perhaps the premier can stand up today and take some action. Will the premier today commit to maintaining the funding and ensuring that the Pathways program, so desperately needed and so effective, continues?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That frontline organizations, nonprofit sector, held together British Columbia's tenuous system of care for both mental health and addictions for such a long time is a testament to their service, their dedication to looking after people in their deepest time of need. Pathways has been a valued member of the Penticton communities, and we're grateful for their service, their contracted service to Interior Health. As I've said last week, and I believe the week before, Interior Health is confident that no one is going to be left behind by the action of bringing the services that Pathways brought, it used to provide, bringing them in-house, making them available along a much wider continuum of care, and making them available to people throughout the South Okanagan region. There will be no disruption while the service is transferred in-house. And I'll remind the members opposite, this is the call we hear from people so often. We want to bring mental health and addictions inside the healthcare system so that when people reach out for help, whether it's a physical injury or a psychic one, they'll be able to get the help they need. That is the work that is at hand.
Thank you. Leader of the Official Opposition on supplemental.
Well, it's interesting. The minister stands in this house and speaks in glowing terms about an organization that has been a lifeline for people in Penticton and beyond. And instead of standing up and making a decision to preserve those resources, she explains that Interior Health may be confident. Well, the residents of Penticton are not. And it is this member's responsibility to stand up and do something. Here's what Gord Portman had to say. He is 10 months clean. He's got a support group, he has a counselor, and now this government has decided, in the middle of a pandemic, to shift the services provided to the people of Penticton. Here's what Gord had to say, and I quote, "I don't like this situation. I am happy with where I am at Pathways. There are good services, and I know the people, and I trust them," end quote. So what Gord would say to the minister today is, it's time for her to stand up and ensure the services that have made a difference in his life and so many others are preserved, not stand and make a case on behalf of Interior Health. It's her job to stand up and take responsibility for services provided to the people of Penticton. Pathways has been serving people for nearly 50 years. They serve more than 1,200 people a year. And somehow this minister and premier think it's appropriate in the middle of a pandemic to shut the doors on this vital service. So it's time for the premier to stand up today and ensure that this vital program, the Pathways program, continues.
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be no disruption to the service that people in Penticton have been receiving for mental health and addictions counseling. We are, as a government, doing the work to build up a system of care where one did not exist before, where people can enter the system and receive all of their primary care and mental health and addictions services in one place. This is going to benefit the South Okanagan region, and because the population of the South Okanagan has grown, because we need to be able to expand services and reach people in a new way, bringing it inside the health authority is the evidence-based decision that the Interior Health Authority has made. I'll remind the member too, we are expanding services in that region in other ways. The urgent primary care center that is opening right now in Penticton is particularly dedicated. It has a mental health and addiction support at its primary focus. This is the way we're building a system of care, and this is the way we're moving forward, knowing there is much more to do.
Member for Surrey White Rock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The fact is, this minister is not expanding services. She's actually closing services. The Premier said, trust me, the service is going to improve. Pathways is closing. Karamias is not reopening. The Sequoia and Elder Youth Recovery Homes in Vancouver, they're closing, despite the government actually promoting them as resources. Carrier Sicani, stopped by this government. There's a pattern here. This government has reduced services and taken away treatment options for people in need. The minister and this premier say people in need and those suffering from addiction should be pleased with the services brought in by this government. I disagree. My question is to the premier. Will he do the right thing and stop the defunding of Pathways and unveil a plan that actually sees a real expansion of services?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
This government is building a full system of care for mental health and addictions where none existed 4 years ago.
Members, Minister will continue. Minister.
Mr. Speaker, the opposition's continued mischaracterization of the accessibility of mental health and addiction service does a disservice to the people that are seeking care in a greater way than they ever have. The pandemic has pushed more people into overdose crisis. It has pushed more people into mental health crisis. Those people are reaching out for help, and we are building and expanding services every year of our four-year mandate and every year of our four-year mandate ahead, both behind and ahead. For Mr. Speaker, I'll implore through you members to be very careful in a mental health and addictions crisis to mischaracterize the inaccessibility of services. It's dangerous to suggest to people that help is not there for them when they need it.
Member for Surrey White Rock on supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A disservice is closing a facility that people are depending on. That is a disservice, Minister. I'm going to read you a quote. Many of our clients who have accessed service years ago will often need to access service again, as the struggle is always present. To be able to call the same place, speak to a familiar counselor who you worked with in the beginning, and brings comfort to those who struggle. Those words are from Daryl Myers, the Executive Director of Pathways. Minister, let's talk about priorities. This government, it costs this government $500,000 a year for Pathways to stay open. It's It's actually less than a toilet you guys have spent in Vancouver. So instead of defunding Pathways, why doesn't this premier simply keep the program operating and increase support for the Interior Health so there's actually a net boost in services?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In fact, as part of the work that is ongoing to build a system of care for mental health and treatment support, here are the new services that Interior Health is offering that have been, some of them just opened this month. 10 government-funded youth treatment beds came online in the Interior. They're helping people right now. 5 new innovative integrated treatment teams throughout the Interior, Kamloops, Cranbrook, West Kelowna, Enderby, Salmon Arm areas, all out, moving out into the community to meet people where they are at, people that haven't been able to access treatment because of shift work or lack of transportation or daycare complications, for example. And there are 200 government-funded adult treatment beds in Interior Health. And the work continues. Is there enough? No, there is not. Are we adding more services every month? Yes, we are.
Member for Sandwich North End Islands.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In 2018, the Ontario government unilaterally cut the Toronto City Council from 47 members to 25. Just last week, the Supreme Court of Canada heard the city's arguments that the province infringed on the charter rights when they did that. The province of British Columbia is the only province or territory in this country that intervened in the case. We are the only province or territory that intervened in that case, Mr. Speaker. Martha Jackman, professor of constitutional law at the University of Ottawa, says, and I quote, "The BC government's position relies on an extremely regressive reading of the Constitution of Canada." She goes on to say, quote, "I'm disappointed to see a social democratic government proposing the same very regressive, conservative, and narrow reading of the charter rights that Ontario argued." My question, Honourable Speaker, is to the Attorney General. The Attorney General stated, and I quote, "The relationship between provinces and municipalities is an ongoing dialogue between the province and our cities. It's an issue that should be decided in discussions with cities rather than through the BC Supreme Court or the Supreme Court of Canada." Does the Attorney General still believe this to be true? And if so, why has the government decided to intervene in the case from Ontario?
Attorney General.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I read the same TAI article as the member did. The member will know that it's a difficult thing for an Attorney General to comment on a case that's in front of the court, which the member acknowledges is the case. So I will certainly say that I agree with the quote from me that the member read out.
Members.
That we are better off working with municipalities about how we work together rather than having the court decide that for us. It's an important issue that's in that case. I look forward to the court's decision. And I'll just note that we're the only province intervening in favor of the federal carbon tax as well. You know, simply because we're the only province is not an indication of the province's position or the progressiveness of that position. What is are our arguments in front of the court, and we look forward to the court's decision.
Member for Sandwich North and Islands on supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I remember the time that I was at the local government table. In fact, I'm a member of this assembly because of the frustration that I felt to the top-down relationship between municipalities and the province. Some will say that municipalities are creatures of the province, and that as such, you know, gives us the ability to kind of do whatever we want from this tower that we sit in here. Municipalities are not our junior partner, Mr. Speaker, nor is local government the training ground for provincial or federal politicians. They are our partners in delivering democratic governance. Brian Frankel, president of the Union of British Columbia Municipalities, has stated that BC's argument is in conflict with the, quote, intent of the Community Charter and the Local Government Act, which recognizes BC's local governments collectively as an independent, autonomous, and accountable order of government within their jurisdiction, end quote. This government has touted that it wants to build a better relationship with local governments, and frankly, Mr. Speaker, this is a remarkable way to do that. So if the Attorney General is of the mind to sidestep my general question about relationships with the municipalities, then perhaps it's best for me to simply ask my former colleague from local government tables, the Minister of Municipal Affairs, what does this government's intervention mean to the relationships with local governments, and should local governments be expecting an even more top-down approach from this province going forward?
Attorney General.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. You know, the member does raise important questions about that case and about the province's involvement, and I look forward to having that discussion with the member once the court has issued its decision. I'll note that the evidence for our province's approach to municipalities was best demonstrated this week in the City of Victoria, where we entered into an MOU around our respective areas of jurisdiction. And this cooperative approach with the city is not unique. We're in similar discussions with Vancouver, Grand Forks, Hope, and we were in Penticton. It doesn't always go well, but our spirit of cooperation is there. And for those cities that want to work with us on the difficult issues of the day, we are there. And I know my colleague, the Minister for Municipal Affairs, is there as well. I look forward to keeping working with our partners in municipal governments wherever we can do it. Thanks.
Member for Abbotsford West.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. In the U.S. Congress, legislation has been introduced that could have a devastating impact on BC's cruise ship-related tourism sector, even after borders reopen, as they most surely eventually will. The Alaska Tourism Recovery Act would allow cruise ships from Seattle to completely bypass BC ports like Victoria, Vancouver, Prince Rupert, which would cost tourism operators hundreds of millions of dollars as a result. Tourism operators are hanging on by their fingernails already, Mr. Speaker, and desperately looking forward to better days ahead. Those better days are now facing an entirely new challenge. What assurance has the Premier received from Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, who's sponsoring the legislation in Congress, that rule changes allowing cruise ships to entirely bypass BC ports will not become permanent?
Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member opposite. The member is fully aware that the federal government is in charge of our borders, and we are working with the federal government to advocate for a robust return to cruise ships and other industries when it's safe to do so. But right now our focus is on the rollout of our vaccinations, the safety of British Columbians, our borders here in BC. And when it's safe, we're going to open up international borders, but that's not up to me, and the member knows that. The member knows that it's up to the federal government. It's their mandate and jurisdiction to manage border control. But the advocacy, and I don't know why the members are heckling about border control and jurisdiction. We're in a federal state, and it's because we are not allowed, it is not up to me as the provincial minister to open up the borders. But the advocacy, what we are doing in British Columbia is advocating for the vaccination rollout, for people to be safe, and then to open up the borders. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
Member for Abbotsford West on supplemental.
Well, Mr. Speaker, that's a troubling response on all kinds of fronts. If the minister doesn't understand that the essence of the question is that when borders eventually do open up, people won't be coming here anymore. They won't be coming because of a legislative change being presented in Congress in Washington, D.C. Alaska is our neighboring state. I hope the minister knows that. Alaska is our neighboring state, and the Premier of British Columbia received a copy of a letter written by the Alaska Congressional delegation almost a month and a half ago, seeking engagement on this matter that is so important to BC tourism operators. Now they've upped the ante. They've upped the ante by introducing legislation that could cost our struggling tourism sector hundreds of millions of dollars every year on a permanent basis. My question to the Premier, has he spoken to Senator Murkowski? Has he written to Senator Murkowski? Has he written to the Alaskan congressional delegation? Has he engaged with them? And if not, why not? The stakes for BC's tourism sector are incredibly high and require engagement by this Premier and this government.
Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and I appreciate the question from the member opposite. We will do that advocacy with the federal government on borders reopening and international travel. The member opposite knows full well that they have made the decision about the cruise ships. The member opposite wants to remind me about geography, and the member opposite wants to remind me about cruise ships. It is international borders. It is up to the federal government
members,
to make
let's
those
listen
rules,
to the answer,
and we
please.
Are going to do the advocacy. The Premier and our government will do the advocacy with the federal government to advocate that the borders are open. We are on the best coast. We're on the West Coast. Yes, it is.
Members.
The members opposite want a lesson in geography around Alaska and BC. There are two different countries. International rules apply around international waters, and the advocacy from the provincial government will be with the federal government and the Prime Minister. Thank you, Honourable Member Speaker.
Member for Kamloops South Thompson. Members, that question and answer is over. Let's listen to the next one.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, for the minister's benefit, what we're talking about here today is called the Jones Act. The Jones Act. She might want to go and look it up and maybe read it or have her advisors tell her what it's all about. This is a significant threat to the tourism sector in British Columbia and the cruise sector in particular. And the nature of the questions here today are not about working with the federal government to reopen the borders or not. The questions are, does the BC government have a plan for when the borders do reopen so that there's still a cruise industry here in British Columbia? That's what we're trying to get at here today, Minister. The issue is very clear. Alaska is sending some very strong signals. Well, not even signals. They're being very, very upfront about it. They want to protect their cruise industry. They were mystified at the lack of engagement on the part of the BC and the Canadian governments when the borders were closed. And they're now saying that they're prepared to move forward without us. So the question to the Premier is this. Has the Premier sought guarantees or assurances from his American counterparts that BC will not be permanently bypassed as a cruise destination when the pandemic is over?
Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. What our government's going to do right now in the middle of a global pandemic is focus on the vaccination rollout. We're going to focus on people being safe and being healthy, and then when we're able to open up the borders and have people come to the best destination in BC, we need...
Members, Minister, just a second.
Honourable Speaker.
No, Member, take your seat. Members, you're wasting really very your time. Minister will continue.
Honourable Speaker, I was saying before I got laughed at by the opposition, of course we care about the tourism sector. Of course we care about cruise ships and Destination BC and being a destination for international travellers to come here to British Columbia. But right now we're in the middle of a global health crisis, and the focus of the provincial health officer is to get the vaccination rolled out so that we're all safe to do so, to travel across BC, across all the regions and all the area codes. And we will do the advocacy with our federal partners and our border partners. Of course we're going to do that work, Honourable Speaker. But right now, the focus is on the vaccination rollout.
Member for Kamloops, South Thompson.
Mr. Speaker, I think there's a reason, a really good reason here to be skeptical about the effectiveness of this government and this minister in particular when it comes to looking out for the tourism sector. The tourism sector asked for $680 million in support almost a year ago. They got $50 million. The tourism sector asked for actions, tangible actions, to help them survive, and they got a task force report, which has a bunch of recommendations that haven't even been implemented yet. They've asked for a relief on fixed costs, and they haven't received that. And now the cruise industry is saying, we are seriously concerned that we may not exist as an industry if the United States, if Alaska in particular, goes ahead in bypassing BC's ports, specifically Vancouver, Victoria, and Prince Rupert. Now, every cruise ship that pulls into Vancouver is worth $3 million in economic activity. And I'll remind the minister that this industry employs 20,000 British Columbians. So again, the question to the Premier is, does he have assurances? Does he have guarantees? Has he had any recent conversations with his U.S. counterparts in Alaska that would provide some comfort to the cruise industry in British Columbia, to the thousands of people that work in the sector, that we will not be bypassed if the Alaskans move forward with the plans that they have indicated they're going to do?
Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The member opposite talks about the task force. Our government called together a task force. I hope that the member opposite is not mocking their expertise and their advice to government. They gave advice. They gave 7 recommendations. We received the report on December 9th. On December 23rd, we rolled out. The member opposite is not quite accurate with his math. He says $50 million. $100 million was devoted to the tourism industry. We value the tourism industry. We listen. We're moving on the recommendations. The industry is asking for certification, safety certification. They're asking for dedicated funds to the Indigenous tourism sector, which was thriving before the pandemic, and that work is underway. And the member opposite can mock all they want about responding to advocacy and implementing recommendations from a task force. We're going to continue doing the work. We're going to continue valuing the tourism sector and make sure that they're better than ever after this pandemic's over. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
Member for Richmond North Centre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Here's another example to show the incompetence of this government, this Premier, and this Minister. I hope the Minister listened carefully to my question. 2 weeks ago, we asked the Premier why travel agencies who have been shut down are still being forced to pay government licensing fees. Instead of providing an answer to the hundreds of travel agencies who are asking about these fees, the minister chose to quote Michelle Obama and told us that implementing all the tourism task force recommendation was, in quote, impossible. So what was she talking about, the task force, just now? Small businesses have been pleading for relief for months. My question is to the Premier. Will the Premier fix his tourism minister in action and waive these fees?
Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The member opposite, if we go back to the transcripts, will hear that you can't do everything at the same time. The priorities of the 7 recommendations removed on the first 3. I can spell out the math. 1, 2, 3. The first 3 recommendations have been implemented. We are working through the recommendations, Honourable Speaker, because we value the task force, we value their advice. The industry has had a direct seat at the table with our great Dr. Bonnie Henry. She's heard directly from the sector about their needs, what the challenges are with this pandemic. The advocacy and work is being done
with the ministry. Members, let's listen to the answer,
please. The members...
Minister will continue.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The member opposite is not accurately reflecting the actions that our government has taken to implement the task force recommendations. The experts asked our government to dedicate $100 million. Money has gone out the door, Honourable Speaker. $40 million has gone out to some of those tourism small business operators throughout this province. It is not accurate for the member opposite, the members of the opposition, to reflect that action isn't being taken, because we are working with the sector. We're at the table. Dr. Bonnie Henry is hearing directly what the concerns are, and we're moving the dial slowly as this vaccination is rolled out. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
Member for Richmond North Centre and supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The minister claimed 2 weeks ago that, quote, "we can't move any quicker than we are," end quote. Dennis from Ultimo Travel says, I quote, "the travel industry was hit the most since the beginning of the pandemic, with zero revenue, but countless cancellation. We can't sustain our business," end quote. Thousands of dollars in license fee are due in just 7 days, just 1 week. Let me try the premier one more time on behalf of all the suffering travel agencies. Will the premier waive this licensing fees, or will travel agencies pay for his incompetence?
Minister of Tourism, Arts and Culture.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. The members opposite, yes or no? Yes or no? The members opposite think that they have their experience with, you know, this idea of duffel bags and ATMs and $20 coming out of nowhere. We're working with the budget process. We are doing the advocacy to get the money out the door through Treasury. There is a process to advocate for those resources, but we are working closely with the industry, Honourable Speaker. We value the tourism sector. There are grants available to the tourism industry up to $45,000, which was a call to action. Grants, not loans, and we're going to continue doing the work. Thank you, Honourable Speaker.
The bell ends question period. Madam Clerk.